Today I am going to share something from the Word of God that is going to be challenging. I'm going to tell you right up front, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, buckle up. Buckle up. And get ready. Because I'm going to be preaching from the tabernacle in the series from the tabernacle. But buckle up. Get ready. And for today's message. But let me also mention that next Wednesday, and let me say this, and if I seem kind of solemn or if I seem kind of, what's a good word for it, tired, I just want you to know that I am. And I am a bit, so if I don't seem as spunky as I usually do, I just want you to know because I'm coming off of a very bad case of food poisoning. And then when I was healed from that, my dad is put in the hospital in Abilene, and he's still there. And I've been having to camp out in Abilene for a few days. And in the morning, I will get up early and drive back to Abilene. And please continue to pray for my dad. And a lot of you have met him and know him. He's come to church before. He lived with us for a short time. But they have yet to diagnose what's wrong with him. And he's been in the hospital since Wednesday evening at Henry's Hospital in Abilene. And so I come home yesterday evening, got home and spent some time with my lovely wife and want to spend today with her. Today's our 40th wedding anniversary, and I'm just so blessed to be with her. And then in the morning I'll get up pretty early. I think I'll probably have to leave around 5 o'clock and zip over to Abilene so I can be there when the doctors come in and stuff to find out a little bit more about what's going on. So continue to pray for Dad, and I would greatly appreciate it and all. But are you ready for the Word of God? Yes or no? Oh wow! Let me just mention this too: is that this Wednesday coming Wednesday, Pastor Tyler's going to share some announcements with you. But let me just mention that this upcoming Wednesday is going to be we call it a game night here in Encounter Church, and they had planned that part of it because Jeannie and I were supposed to be gone to Puerto Vallarta. Is that how you say it? Puerto Vallarta? Vallarta. There you go. Puerto Vallarta. We were supposed to leave in the morning and go spend the week in Puerto Vallarta for our 40th anniversary, and we had to cancel because of Dad and me needing to be there with him, not knowing what's going to be happening. And so they get a game night. We're going to keep going with the game night this next Wednesday. Game night. And I've just got it. If you come this Wednesday to the game night, disclaimer, okay? My wife morphs into a different person on game night. And she just incredibly competitive, okay? And she might even cuss a little bit. And so, no, that's not true. And but really close. But she just loves playing games. And so you want to come Wednesday night, it's going to be a great time. And then the following Wednesday, I'm going to start something here that is a teaching on Wednesday night that I want to invite everyone to come and be a part of. And I'm going to be teaching, and there's going to be a very short video, but I'm going to be teaching about really getting into the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. I'm going to be teaching this on Wednesday nights. And it's called, if you've heard it and you can correct my pronunciation, go ahead and correct it. Because Lectio Divina, I think is how you pronounce it. Say it again for me, Joanne. Lectio Divina is what it's called. And it's about really getting into, it's an ancient form of just meditating on the Word of God. And instead of just reading, it's good to read the Word. It's good to have your Bible plan. But we all need to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into us. And that comes through meditation and meditating on the Word. And because, the enemy takes everything that God does and he perverts it, okay? You know, everything that God does, the enemy takes and perverts it. And when you mention meditation in the church, sometimes people are like, well, that Easter meditation stuff? No, that's not what we're talking about. That's the enemy perverting the biblical meditation. and chewing on the Word and getting the Word into you. And so we're going to spend 5 Wednesdays. I'm going to be teaching on this. And I just encourage you to come. And we're going to do it as a church family, as a body. We're not going to break up in small groups. Everybody's going to meet right in here. And as a community, as a family, we're going to talk about getting into the Word of God and letting the Word of God get into you. And it's a powerful, powerful teaching. And so let me just encourage you to join us for those Wednesday night services. It's going to be great. A meeting place. A house of worship. God is looking for worshipers. God is looking for worshipers. Jesus even said to a woman in John chapter 4, a woman at the well, the woman from Samaria, they're having a conversation. As they're in this conversation, Jesus said this to this woman. She said, the Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. What is that way? In spirit and in truth. Jesus says, God is looking for people to worship Him. Wow. Think about it. God is looking. When God speaks to me, I want to know that He's found a worshiper. When He speaks to you, I want Him to know that He's found a worshiper. And if you will look, and we've been in this series on the tabernacle and the tabernacle in the wilderness and how God had them, the children of Israel, build this tabernacle as a place that He could meet with them. And He said, build it right in the middle of the camp of the children of Israel. Why? Because God wants to be in the middle of your life. God wants to be in the middle of your life. And he's telling them, build this tabernacle so that you can meet with me, so that you can worship me. And one of the things in the story of the children of Israel and their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, if you know that story, it says this in Exodus chapter 8, I believe it is, y'all, Exodus 8 and 1, is that while, you know, Moses is going to Pharaoh and he's saying, you know, let God's people go, and all of that. And then in just verse 1, it says this, and the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh and announce to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can, everybody say it with me, worship me. Wow, why? God's looking for worshipers. I'm talking about today building a house of worship. And in case you're wondering, worship is not a slow song. Worship is not a slow song. Now, I like my slow songs that I call worship songs. I love them. I love my praise songs. But worship is not a slow song. And God is looking for worshipers. God said, build me a tabernacle right in the middle. Who builds this tabernacle? Who built it? They do. The children of Israel built it. And what does God tell Moses? And you can go and read it later. I don't have the scripture. But God told Moses, He told Moses, get all of those that are experienced in building in what these certain different areas and build the tabernacle. Get those that are skilled. Any carpenters in here? Come on, any carpenter, Stephen? Come on, you should be raising. You know you're a carpenter, Stephen. Man, you're a great carpenter. Anybody else? You're just a carpenter, Paul is. I mean, have you ever seen, you're a carpenter? Wow, Danny, that's awesome. Cool. Paul built a cool patio over in their back. I mean, him and Joel built that thing. I mean, he's a carpenter. You know, and let me just say it this way. Paul would not have wanted me building that. Because my wife said, amen. You said that a little too loud and with a little too much confidence, okay? But it's the truth. Because why? I am not a skilled carpenter. But God told Moses, get those that are skilled to build the tabernacle. Why? This is just a nugget. God is into excellence. God wants nothing halfway done. He's a God of excellence. And He says, so get me the skilled people and build this tabernacle. And where did they get? These people had been in bondage, Egyptian bondage, for over 400 years. Where did they get the resources to build it? Have you ever thought about that? Well, God said, you take this material, because He told Moses everything to build it out of. Where did they get that material? Where did it come from? And let me just say this, when God gives vision, He also gives provision. God is the provider, and He gives provision. He's saying, build me a house of worship, then He provides. Where did it come from? Where did the provision come from? It came from the children of Israel. These people, again, were in bondage. They're in slavery for 400 years. Where did they get the provision to build the tabernacle? Where did they get it? I mean, these guys were wandering in the wilderness. They had nothing was their own in Egypt. They were slaves. Where did it come from? Although God's a provider, God told them to build the tabernacle. Where did it come from? And I'm going to read a verse in the book of Psalms from the New Living Translation because I like the way it words it. And you can go and read it in the book of Exodus as well. When they left Egypt, what happened? But look at this verse. Look what it says. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold. Wow. They were loaded. How many of you would like to be loaded? Hey, look, friends, look. It's like I told the first service. I'm only reading the Bible. I didn't write it. The Holy Spirit did. And the Bible says that they were loaded with silver and gold when they left. And not one among the tribes of Israel even stumbled. So where did they get the provision to build the tabernacle? God gave it to them through the Egyptian people. You can go and read it. Through the Egyptian people, when God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, they didn't deserve it. But God blessed them tremendously when he delivered them from bondage. And they were loaded with silver and gold. Wow. What a beautiful picture. And so when it come time for them to build the tabernacle, what did God do? What did God say? And I'm already getting excited because I love this message. It comes time to build it and the place, this place for them to meet with God. And here's what God told Moses in Exodus 25, 1 and 2. God spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites that they are to set aside offerings for me." Where did they get the offering? From God. Through when they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. What God blessed them. God blessed them tremendously. And then God says this, "Tell the Israelites that they are to set aside offerings for me. Receive the offerings from everyone who is willing to give." Wow, why is that word willing? Why is that important? Why? Because worship is being willing. Worship is being willing to give back a portion of what God has blessed you with. That's worship, my friend. Building a house of worship. God had blessed them, and now he wanted them to use a portion of what he blessed them with to give back to him, to build a house of worship to him. Wow. Jack Hayford said it this way. The offering was to be a free will offering of worship from the heart, not a tax that was imposed upon the people. God had blessed them. And let me ask you, has God blessed you? Whether you realize it or not, my friends, compared to the rest of the world, we are extremely blessed in America. And God had blessed them. He blessed the children of Israel, loaded with silver and gold. But when it came time to build the house of worship, God says now they need to set aside a portion of what I've blessed them with to build this house, this tabernacle, this place of worship, this place they can meet with me. Why is that important? Because you can only build a house of worship from a heart that worships. And that is a willing heart. You can only build a house of worship from a heart that worships. And that is a willing heart, my friend. The only true worship is willing worship. The only true worship is willing worship. And your giving is worship. In fact, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, "For God loves a person who gives." Everybody say it with me, come on. Let's try and do it all together, okay? That's it. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Why? It's about willingness. It's about worship. It's about giving back to God what he has blessed you with, my friend. Wow. Wow. Because where there is vision, there is his provision. And so I'm going to stop right here, and I want to say something before I read the next passage of Scripture. Is that you are not my provider, and you are not this church's provider. God is. God is the provider, my friend. And today, I'm going to be talking about your money and your money belonging to God right up front, unashamedly. No problem. Are you ready? I want to be talking about your money and what you do with your money. Wow. Why? Because I want you blessed. I want you blessed. And I know in some of you are going to be going, yeah, he's right. He's exactly right. And I know I'm right because I'm just talking from the Bible. And some of you are going to be going, oh, that's hard. The only hard word is the one you're not doing. All right, glory to God. He said, have them give willingly. From what where do they get it from? God. God bless them. And God said, to build this house of worship for me, have them give willingly. And then 1 Chronicles 29:3, I love this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to read a lot of Scripture here, okay? And so make sure your neighbor's staying awake. Follow along on the screen if you'd like. But 1 Chronicles 20, and here's, let me set this up, okay, for you. And this is after, many, many years after the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. In fact, they're in their own land. They're in Canaan now, and David has been king of Israel, okay? And now it's come time to build a temple. And God tells David, you're not going to build it, your son's going to build it, Solomon. All right, and so we're going to pick up in 1 Chronicles 29, and what? Listen to what David says here, and we're going to read a lot of verses. I'm going to start in verse 3, and this is David talking to the king. He says, furthermore, because my heart, everybody say his heart, is in this, in addition to and beyond what I have gathered, I'm turning over my personal fortune of gold and silver for making this place of worship for my God. Man, David's got a heart of giving, man. I'm turning over my personal fortune to build this temple. Wow. And then he goes on to say this, and in verses, I'm going to jump down to verses 5 and 6. And now, look what he says here. And now, how about you? How about you? How about you to build this house of worship? Wow. Because he's talking to the leaders here in this passage of Scripture. You'll see, I'm about to read it. David gave the king, and now he's talking to the leaders. That's why leaders here are tithers in Encounter Church. I can assure you that today I'm not preaching to be liked. I'm preaching for you to be blessed. All right? Everybody ready? Let's go. All right, verses 5 through 6. And now, how about you? Who among you is ready, and there's that word again, and willing to join in the giving? Ready and willing. The heads of families, leaders of the tribes of Israel, commanders and captains in the army, stewards of the king's affairs, stepped forward and gave, everybody say it with me, willingly. They gave. Why? Because willing worship. Willingly is worship. A willing heart to give is worship, my friend. And they're building a house of worship, the temple. Now let's go on and read verses 9 through 17. Now the people, see, it went from David to the leaders to the people. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was what? Filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Now listen to the language of David here. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. What is he saying? I'm just a manager. I'm just a steward. Everything I have belongs to you, God. Even this kingdom here. Wow. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand. And at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And then look at his humility here. Look at what David says. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Man, can you just sense his heart here? Who am I to give anything to you, God? Who am I? Wow. But yet he had been given, in our day and age, would be worth billions of dollars to build the temple. Wow. And then look what he says. I have this underlined. Everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. Wow. Same thing back to the children of Israel. Where God said, you guys, you build the temple. And you give of what you've already been blessed with and what I've given you. Same thing David here says. He says, he said, everything I'm giving God is only what you have first given me. Wow. We are here for only a moment. Visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. Wow. It all, look what he says. It all belongs to you. Everything I have, everything here, God, it belongs to you. It's not mine. Everything. This is David, the man after God's own heart. That you examine. Let me back up just a little bit. Oh, Lord, our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. Wow. Why? Because to build a house of worship, you can only build a house of worship with a heart of worship. And I want everybody to look up here. I'm going to say some things that are going to challenge you, but it's right from the Bible. Your heart is revealed in what you give back to God in his kingdom. There's no greater identifier of what goes on in our heart than our money and our possessions. Thank you, honey. It is good. Because it's from the Bible, and I'll show you. It is good. And in case you're wondering, I'm incredibly blessed. Our church is incredibly blessed. It's got more money in the bank than it's ever had in its existence. So, this is for you. This is for you to be blessed. When you put God first in your finances, he'll bless your socks off. He promised he will. But it's from a heart of worship, willingly giving to you, Father. The only proof that everything you have belongs to God is when you give a portion of what he's given you back to him. It's the only proof that everything you have belongs to him is when you give a portion of what he's given you back to him. And back to his kingdom. That's worship. That's worship. Our father of faith, Abraham, this is in this season of his life, when he hasn't even, you know, God promised Abraham, he said, out of you, I want to birth a nation. A whole nation is going to come out of you, Abraham. And before Isaac is ever even born, okay, it's just Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham has an encounter in Genesis 14 and 20. And then it says, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God. And many think this is representative of Jesus Christ here in the Old Testament. And you can read, and you can, it talks more about this, and I think it's Hebrews chapter 7. You can go there and read a little bit about it in the New Testament. But it says, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God, Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with his blessing. So who did the blessing come from? Melchizedek. Blessed, Abraham was blessed first. And God had already told Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And then blessed by Abraham, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Wow. God has defeated your enemies. And then what is Abram's response to the blessing of God and to Melchizedek in this moment? What is his response? And this is way before the law, my friend. Hundreds of you, so stop saying that giving is of the law. It is not. That is the devil trying to rob you of God's blessing in your life. Because what was Abraham's response? Then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. Wow. Abraham's immediate response to being blessed by Melchizedek is to give back a tenth of everything that he'd been blessed with. Wow. Wow, that's worship, my friend. That's worship. That's worshiping God with what he has blessed us with. Wow, so what do we need to know? What do we need to know about tithing? About giving a portion back to God, all right? Number one, tithing is worship. Tithing is worship, my friend. It's worship. Genesis 28, 22, this is Abraham's grandson. Runs in the family. Again, just long before the law was ever in place. Why? Because they were giving out of the heart. Abraham, and if any of you ever heard of Jacob's ladder, you know, we talk about it in church and stuff. The kids learn about it in children's church, Jacob's ladder. And Jacob had laid his head on a rock and he went to sleep and he had a dream. And there was a ladder up to heaven and angels were ascending and descending on that ladder. And at the top of the ladder was, at the top in the opening to heaven was the Lord. And Jacob woke up from that dream, and this is what Jacob said, Genesis 28 and 22. And this memorial pillar, that rock that he was laying on, shall become a place of, there it is again, worship. And I will give you back a tenth of everything you give me. What was his response in that place of worship? To give back a tenth of everything that he'd been blessed with. Wow. Why? Because tithing is worship. Tithing is worship. Giving God the first is worship, my friend. And that was his response to that moment in his life. Jacob has an encounter with God. After he wakes up, he pours olive oil all over the stone, and he calls that place Bethel. And the word Bethel means the house of God. And so there in that house of God, that place he designated as the house of God, a place of worship, his first response is to give a tenth back to God. How beautiful that is. And a beautiful picture that the enemy has tried to rob us of. Of worship, of taking a portion of what God has blessed us with and returning it to the kingdom of God in a place of worship. Why? Tithing is worship. It's acknowledging, God, everything that I have belongs to you. Everything I have belongs to you. Belongs to you. Jacob has an encounter with God. And he just wakes up like his response is to give. Wow, it's worship. When we worship with our tithe, it's the response of a grateful, humble people expressing their praise to God for his provision. That God, everything I have is from you. Everything I have is from you, God. When I bless you after you've blessed me. Number two, ask your neighbor if they're okay. Come on, I need to take a drink here. If they're not, tell them to get your heart right. Wow. Number two, tithing is a test. Tithing is a test. Wow. Tithing is a test of your heart. It's a test of your heart. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. There the desires of your heart will also be, wherever your treasure is. And in another passage of Scripture there in that same area, he said this, you cannot serve both God and money. It's interesting that he used money and God right there in that place together. Wow, that's the power of money in your life. He said, you can't serve both God and money. Wow. Tithing is a test. Tithe, the word tithe means tenth, and the number 10 represents testing in the Bible. The number 10 represents testing in the Bible. And this is, you get involved, some of you that may have been in the first service, now you can go along with me, you know where we're going here. But everybody just kind of go, this is what do they call this? This is a joint effort. This is cooperation from everybody. We're going to do this together. How many plagues were in Egypt when God tested Pharaoh's heart? Everybody said 10. 10. Let's do that together. Let's do it again. All right? Everybody at home, you can join us. How many plagues were in Egypt? 10 when God tested Pharaoh's heart. How many commandments did God give Moses? Come on, a little bit louder, guys. I know you can. You yell at your spouse louder than that. How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? 10. How many times were Jacob's wages changed? How many days was Daniel tested in Daniel chapter 1? 10. How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? 10. How many days was the church in Revelation 2:10 tested? 10. How many disciples did Jesus have? Man, see, most of you got it. I'm proud of y'all. I tried to get you there. It wasn't 10. He had 12. But 10, tithe is 10. It's a test. The number 10 represents the testing. Every time you get paid, you're tested. Who's going to be the Lord of your life? Every time you get paid, you're tested. Does everything I have belong to God? And it's an honor, it's a privilege to give back to Him what He's blessed me with. It's an honor. It's an honor to give back a portion. Jenny and I have been doing it for years, my friend. We've been doing it for years. And I can remember when my heart, I was running from God and living a very immoral life, and her and my younger daughter were going to church, and I still think Jeannie put her up to it. Jeannie says she didn't. Jeannie says she didn't put her up. But my younger daughter would come in and would be like, Daddy, you want to go to church with us? And I'd get so mad. You know, and I'm like, get mad at Jeannie because you told her to say that, you know, and all. But she didn't. And I didn't want anybody, you know. I knew I was raised in church, man. I used to sleep under the church pew when I was a kid. And on a season of my life, and I was living just for several years a very immoral life. And Jeannie had recommitted her life to Christ, and her and Stacy are going faithfully to church and all of that. And she's praying for me and all, and just believing God to touch my life. And then one day, she knew God was dealing with me. When this is the question I asked her, are we paying our tithe? And I wasn't even going to church serving God. But you know why I asked her that? Because your money is connected to your heart. And God was already dealing with my heart. And the first thing I wanted to know was, are we paying our tithe? Because it's worship. It's our heart. And there was the light at the end of the tunnel for her. In that moment. Tithing is worship. Tithing is a test of your heart, my friend. There are more than 500 verses in the Bible concerning prayer. 500 verses concerning faith. But more than 2,000 verses in the Bible concerning your possessions and your money. Jesus talked about money in 16 of his 38 parables. Why? Because he knew the temptation it would be in our life. And he talked about it in his parables. Clearly, from the Bible standpoint, you and I need to know how to handle our finances. How I handle the money in my possession says more about my heart than what I realize. It does. Good. Wow. And then the last thing is this. Tithing is worship, first of all. Tithing is a test. It's a test. I want you to be blessed. I've never understood why people had an issue with tithing when God said, look, if you'll do this, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you'll not receive. What? Who wouldn't want that? And you know what else he says? I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Who wouldn't want that? I'm like, what's your problem? You know? Wow. Tithing, and the last point, tithing is first. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. First in his righteousness. I need everybody, I don't think I preached too long today. I need everybody to look up here real quick. You at home, I want you to zero in with me right here. Tithing is first. Listen, God will be nothing but first in your life. If he's not first, he's not second or third or fourth. He can only be first because he's God. And I heard John Maxwell say this years ago, and it always stuck with me in teaching. He said this. He said, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He can't be half Lord in your life. He can't because he's Lord. God can't be anything but first in your life. He will not be second. He can only be first. Okay? This is to help you, my friends. Because, man, God will bless you. He'll provide for you. Oh, he's such a good father. But tithing is first. It's about giving to him first above everything else. Thank God you're first. We're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 4. And there, Adam and Eve they've sinned and God removed them from the garden. They've got some kids now, Cain and Abel. And please catch the last part of this message. And Cain and Abel are grown now. They're, from what we understand, they're grown men. And the Bible says in verse 3 of Genesis 4, and in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Notice the words, and in the course of time, he just brought an offering to the Lord, okay? It's like throwing a 20 at God and saying, okay, God. Well, I gave. You didn't give with the right heart. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. But Abel, that's his brother, brought an offering of the finest. This is the Amplified Bible. Brought the finest firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. In other words, Abel brought the best to God. And the Lord had respect or regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect. Wow. Come on. Tell your neighbor again. He's just reading the Bible. That's all he's doing. Just reading the Bible. That's all I'm doing. I'm just reading the Bible to you. And again, this is long before the law, anything like that. Long before. And I just feel like I need to stop and say this. Why for one second did God give his very best, his son, for us? I mean, he gave his best. And Jesus is called, by the way, Jesus is called the firstborn among many brethren. God gave his tithe, Jesus, to us. He gave his best. And why for one second do we think in the body of Christ that we could just give God anything because God gave his best for us? Why do we think that? That's not true. God's looking at the attitude of our heart. He is. I mean, God gave his best, so you can give your best. Told you, this is going to be challenging. I'm not done yet. Almost. Get ready. Buckle up. Come on, buckle up. God had no respect for Cain's offering, so Cain became extremely angry. So many people get angry when you talk about tithing and giving. Cain became angry. Indignant, it says. And he looked annoyed and hostile. Pastors, can't believe you're preaching on that money. Oh my goodness. Can't believe it. you just want my money, that's all. I don't need your money. God's my provider. But you need God's provision and blessing when you're in life. And you get all annoyed now, that church just wants my money. All them prosperity preachers. Well, would you rather me preach poverty? Would you rather me preach poverty? Oh, you guys would be more humble if you just poor. That's a lie from the enemy. I mean, he delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, and they were what? The Bible says loaded with silver and gold. Loaded, loaded, loaded. Well, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. Wow. He became hostile. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why do you look annoyed? If you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction. So apparently somewhere they'd been taught this stuff. And he said, because this is all in the context of the attitude of their heart in giving. And he says, but ignore my instruction. He said, sin crouches at your door. Its desire. Listen, sin has a desire. Its desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. Let me just say this. You will either manage your money God's way, or the lack of it will always manage you. It'll manage you. You'll either manage your money or it'll manage you. Wow. Y'all are just about 1% quieter than the first service. I'm going to preach to you the truth because I want you to be blessed. He says it's a desire for you to overpower you, but you must master it. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, it's verse 13. And you can go there and read the whole thing if you like. Just everybody, zoop. All right. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. That's talking about the Cain we just read about in the Old Testament. He said, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Wow. He said, they've gone the way of Cain. What's the way of Cain? And you look at that passage of scripture. And that's why Cain was having a problem. What's the way of Cain? Greed and rebellion. I'm going to tell you why people get mad when you talk about tithe and offering, because of greed and rebellion. Because of greed and rebellion. When you talk about giving God first, greed and rebellion. Gone the way of Cain. Wow. Man. Tithing, that's worship first. It's about giving God your best, because he deserves our best, my friend. Tithing is worship. It's worship. It's not about the law. It's about giving God our best. It's about putting him first. Because why? It's trusting him with your life, that he can provide everything that you need for your life. Everything that you need for your life. He'll meet every need when you put him first. I've got one more passage of scripture to read, but in my notes, but I want to read one more from Mark chapter 12. And because sometimes people will say, God doesn't really care, you know, about my giving. He doesn't really care, you know. Well, in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. The Bible says Jesus sat down near the collection box. I just want to ask you a question. If Jesus sat down near that collection box back there, what would he see coming from you? What do you see coming from you? Wow. Because he is sitting down next to the collection box. Just like he was watching then, he's watching now. And this, I want you to be blessed. I share these things because I want you to be blessed. People struggle, they struggle, they struggle, and you talk to them about this. Oh, no, no, no. I just want my money. No, God wants your heart. And your money's directly connected to your heart above anything else. Now you are about 5% quieter than the first service. But the Bible says Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. She gave everything she had to live on. And people out in the world, and even some people in the church would say, oh, sugar, don't do that. Don't give that. God understands. He doesn't understand. Because what she did, and I can't wait to talk to this lady in heaven one day, because I can guarantee you she got blessed like crazy after Jesus noticed that she gave everything in that. Because that's who he is. And so many people, oh, God understands, sugar. He doesn't understand. He doesn't. He understands. No. Wait, that's what we hope, sugar, don't. When her giving everything that she had was her way out of poverty. And the rest of them, they're just getting this little tiny portion of that have they have this huge abundance amount. And they're just giving this little bitty a portion of it, you know, throwing a 20 at God or something like that. You know. Like that satisfies God. And it doesn't. God wants the best from you, the first from you. It's all through the Bible. Nothing I've shared to you today is not from the Bible. Tithing is in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Don't let people tell you it's not in the New. It is. It's giving first to God. It's about out of a heart of worship of how much he has blessed you with. How much he's blessed you with. Because you can only build a house of worship with a heart of worship. And worship is connected directly to what you give and you return to God and bless his kingdom with and his purpose. Wow. One last verse, one of my favorite in the Bible. It's a good one. Oh, it's so good. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. There it is. Honor. What is honor? Worship. It's worship. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And with what now? Everybody say it with me. First fruits of all your crops. That's your income. That's the, again, this is from the Amplified. And the Amplified Bible added that in there, your income. With the first fruits of all your crops. The first fruits. Honor him with your wealth. And with the first fruits of all, one translation says, all of your increase. Honor him with the first fruits. Then your barns will be abundantly filled. Wow. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Wow. Who wouldn't want that? And God says, honor me with the first fruit of everything that you, all of your increase. Worship me with it. Build my house with it. Build my house with it and see what I won't do. See if I'll not bless you. When it's given willingly and out of a heart of worship. Won't you stand with me to build a house of worship, you must have a heart of worship. And tithing is worship, my friend. Tithing is a test. And tithing is first. Tithing is putting God first in your life. Saying, God, you're number one. And I want to give back to you everything that you've blessed me with. I'm going to give back to you. You've blessed me. You own it all anyway, God. You own it all. You own it all. Well, Ken, if I do that, I won't have enough to pay my bill. That's the point. That's the point. Put God first and then watch what he does. I guarantee you, put him first and then watch what he does. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. Very short story. I can remember, you know, when Jeannie and I have been tithing for years, years and years. I mean, married 40 years now, and we've never, you know, I'm going to say this, I don't say it haughtily or anything. There's never been one time that we looked at our checkbook and said, we can't give today. Not one time. It didn't matter what anything looked at afterwards. God's first. Not one time. And when we had a struggle, we all go through struggles. And when we lost, you know, quite a bit of finances, we never stopped tithing. We never stopped putting him first. We worked a lot. I mean, we worked a lot. Like four jobs. Well, there were five jobs going on in the household at the time to rebuild after we lost everything. But we never missed a tithe. Never, never, not one time. Never, not one time. And I can remember the day that I got the letter in the mail from somebody that was totally unexpected, never knew it, never. And someone had died in their family. And they sent us, just God had put us on their heart. That's all they said. And they sent us a portion of what they God had blessed them with. Like well over $2,000, just out of nowhere. We just got it in the mail. And then that very same week, I had another relative on the other side of my family call me and say, well, we've sold a portion of, I mean, just out of nowhere, we've sold a portion of land, and we want to send you guys a portion of that finances that we, you know, from that the sale of that land. And I think that week we got around $5,000 just came in from nowhere. You know what that was? God opening up the windows of heaven. Why? Because we remain faithful to him, and we remain faithful to give. I know this is a challenging message, but I can tell you this is straight from the Bible. And I can tell you that if you will honor God with what he's asking you to do, he will bless you. He will bring things into order in your life. And you can live, you don't have to live from paycheck to paycheck. You do not have to live that way. You do not have to live that way. Do we still need to manage it afterward? Yeah, absolutely. But God, if you'll put him first, God will bless you. Tithing is worship, my friend. How does God build his house? Well, he uses what he's blessed you with to build his house. But it needs to be done willingly with a heart of worship to God and done first. God, you're first in my life. I'm not going to do my bills, and then if I got enough left, I'll give to God. That's not the way it works with God, because that doesn't take faith. And he says anything that's not faith is sin. Okay? It's not the way it works. It's where God, you're first, because I have faith in you. And everybody in here that's a tither can say, you know what? Ken is exactly right. This has been so, I mean, they've been like, yeah, glory to God. Yeah. And the ones that don't are like, that's kind of hard, Ken. Well, I just want to challenge you to put God first with your life. With your finances, put him first. And he'll bless you. You see, that's how they built the tabernacle in the wilderness. They took what God had blessed them with and built the tabernacle, a willing offering. It's what they built the temple with, what God had blessed them with. Boom. It's how you build your life. It's how we do the work of the ministry here. By God has blessed you, you give. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word. God, I know it's been a challenging word, but I don't apologize for it at all. It's what you've called me to do. God, I don't shrink back, because you're our provider. And God, you've provided abundantly for my life, my family. You've provided abundantly for this church, God. And you're not done, because we're givers. And so I'm thankful. But God, I know you want all of your people, your children, blessed. You want them blessed, God. And for so many people, this giving has been a hang up. Giving of their finances. Lord, I know there's been abuses in the past and things such as that. But God, that shouldn't stop us from honoring you with our finances and worshiping you with our tithe and our offering. And so, Lord, I just pray. And this is going to be something that's, Father, that I know is between them and you. Between them and you. And so, God, I pray right now for every person that may be struggling in this area, God. That your Holy Spirit, Father, will just speak to them. Because I know in my heart in sharing this message, there hasn't been 1 ounce of wrong motive. But God, I know that you want your people blessed, but God, they have to be willing to worship you with a portion of what you bless them with. And so, Father, just speak to every person, and may they hear the loving conviction of your Holy Spirit, God. Father, because you're building a temple, a tabernacle through your Son, Jesus Christ, a place for you to dwell and for you to be honored and for you to be worshiped, oh God. Oh, and how you bless your people when they do that. You're a covenant-keeping God, and you've blessed us so much, and I just want to say thank you. Father, I give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.